Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. Sizohlangana khona.
Good day and welcome to the car wash. This is episode number 59. On today's show, we discuss Gavin Hunt's time at Chiefs so far. We react to the PSL's midweek and past weekend games and react to Owen Dugama taking over the TS Galaxy coaching job. Whether you are listening to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or Apple Podcasts, welcome to the show. I am your host, Slu Paho, but of course, I am not alone. I am joined by former Ajax Cape Town and Mamelodi Sundowns goalkeeper, Mr. Sean Roberts himself. Sean, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks, brother. How are you doing?
I am good. I am all good. And we are, of course, also joined by former Orlando Pirates, Sundowns, and Bafana midfielder, one Deko Modise. How are you doing, sir?
Easy, Chief. How are you?
I'm all good, all good. Well, we come to you from a delayed recording. Of course, we live in a country being load shed, and it's always tough when you're recording from home to try and find the right time. But Friday is your day for the car wash this week. And since it feels a little funny to have the show recorded and released like this, I feel like we can start off with something a little funny with the joke of the day.
Well, that's Lou. Right. Short and sweet. Here we go. It takes guts to be an organ donor.
Oh man.
Thank you.
Shono Bin had the dad joke since before he was a dad. All right. But we kick off today's show with pole position. Pole position is where we ask a question on Facebook to our readers and listeners. And, you know, there's a lovely piece in the newspaper, the latest paper, which you can pick up for R5, just one coin. In the midsection, they have an entire feature on Gavin Hunt's first 100 days at Kaizer Chiefs. And so we asked you, all things considered, how would you rate Gavin Hunt's time at Chiefs so far? Here's what you had to say.
Gavin Hunt at this moment is doing pretty good. He gave the boys strategy to play, and the boys loses his strategy, so he's not his fault. And on Kev, I think he's doing pretty good. What you need to do is just to work on the controlling midfielder and scoring goals.
Bobo, Gavin Hunt,
And there you have it. You know, it's kind of one of those funny things when it comes to Kaizer Chiefs and Gavin Hunt. People want to give him time. Some people think that Chiefs should be performing a lot better despite all of their issues. But when you take everything into account, the transfer window issue, player confidence coming off of last season, and also, you know, the kind of bittersweetness of the season so far, not doing well in the league, but qualifying for their first CAF Champions League group stage. How would you rate the season so far for Gavin Hunt, Sean?
Slu, it's a very tough question. It's obviously, as Gavin Hunt and his backroom staff, whatever, would obviously prefer to be way up the table, which they're not. And that, to me, is a combination of unluckiness, because they have been unlucky. They haven't played the best, we've got to be honest, but they have been unlucky. They've created the chances during the season, but they've also conceded quite a bit. And that's what they minimized last season, was the conceding of the goals. But they've had their chances, so there's been no excuse. It hasn't been the dream start that we all thought it was going to be for Gavin Hunt. Teko mentioned, we all mentioned last week on the podcast that, you know, it is still the same squad that nearly won the league last year. So you've got to sort of, you know, ask the question, you know, what's going on? What's going on behind the scenes in the change room? And that to me is the core focus. What's happening in the change room? Because we know Chiefs is, there's a lot of ego. There's some big players, some big names. And if you lose control of that, there's problems. Good result for them during the week. Was it last night, I think? And you just see when Nurkovic was out how much they've missed something. And I'm always reluctant to say, put a player on such a pedestal, but he really took the PSL by storm last season, and he's come back last night and he scored again. And hopefully, because I'm a Chiefs fan, hopefully this is the start of Chiefs climbing that ladder back to where they belong.
Deco, how would you rate this season? I mean, it's tough to judge after 10 games in the league and just the MTN8 competition, but you watched the game last night for SuperSport, and you know, Sean mentioned unluckiness. Some dude tried to take off one of Chiefs players' whole leg last night. I don't know if you know the play that I'm talking about, but plus Kamabiliat now is injured, so like there is a bit of bad luck there. How would you rate the season?
It's been a tough season for just Kaizer Chiefs as a whole, before I can include Gavin Hunt as a coach.
Yeah,
I think the guys didn't start well, and we all know the factors behind that. And because the games were coming in thick and fast, and they were unable to actually to get back their form, their winning ways actually. And with that, also with the new coach coming in, implementing the new type style of play as well. You know, it's not easy for guys to adjust to a new coach with a new style as well. Because now as a coach, you need to teach them how to undo or to unlearn other things as well. So that takes time. And with the demands of being a Kaizer Chiefs player and a coach, we all know how big that is. But for the entire Kaizer Chiefs family, I think it's been a tough season for them. And then also it came to a point where they needed to be realistic about the situation. Mm. The truth of the matter is they needed to start looking at each other in the eyes and be honest with each other. Like, we really, really, guys, don't have players. Mm. You know, we nearly got away with it last season. We nearly won the league. But the truth of the matter is right now we can realize that these are the same players, but we really, really, really need to beef up the squad and change a whole lot of personalities in the team. And with Gavin Hunt coming in, that also didn't help because there was no continuity on the coaches as well. Mm. So now that comes in, Gavin Hunt now he's unable to sign, and he's the coach that comes with the pedigree of winning trophies as well. So that also, the expectations goes higher. With the quality that they have, it becomes a problem. Mm. But also with the difficulties as well of this COVID, players getting COVID, and so many players, especially important players for Kaizer Chiefs, getting injured, it doesn't help the situation as well. So Gavin Hunt never had it easy this season. Kaizer Chiefs players as well, I feel for them, because can you imagine, you know, going 7 games without a win or 6 games without a win, and you have to go buy grocery and everybody knows who you are.
Yeah.
They're going to start asking you, hey, Chief, when are you going to start winning?
Yeah.
And yesterday's game, I looked at them when they walked in, as they went in to go warm up. I was sure that this team is not going to win this game. Because of the body language, you could see in their faces as well. Like, there's something is missing, you know, in that team. And what was missing was the feeling of winning, you know, knowing, getting that feeling back, you know, the confidence back. And the only person also that was shouting and making so much noise from the first minutes was Nurkovic. And I spoke in length about him yesterday before the game. I said, this is the guy that they need to bring that energy because of the way he plays, you know, and that's exactly what he did. Besides the goal, they needed somebody that they can rely on, somebody that can bring hope and confidence within the team. Yes, it's not Kaizer Chiefs that is fully on confidence, but he's the guy that they know that with half chance he might score.
Sure.
And look at yesterday. This was his first start. Yesterday, this season.
Yeah.
And you look at Zuma as well, it was his first start, which is the guy that was very instrumental as a super sub last season. These are the guys that actually changed the game yesterday.
Yeah.
But during the game also, you can tell about their fitness level.
Yeah.
You could tell that these guys are slowly getting to get tired, especially in the 60th, 70th minute where Amazulu was coming. These guys were tired.
Yeah.
But also, I feel like Nurkovic, I thought that Nurkovic wouldn't play the whole 90 minutes, but he did. But you can understand as well. I looked at the Kaizer Chiefs bench. I'm like, I understand what Coach Gavin Hunt is going through. There is literally nothing that he can do. And and sometimes you need to rely on the senior players, and that's what he did yesterday. And from what I saw yesterday from KZ Chiefs, I just want to commend them. They showed the fighting spirit yesterday, even though under difficult circumstances. You know, I saw your Bernard Parker fighting hard for the team, Bram Patlela at the back fighting hard for the team. Gadozo playing out of possession, playing in the midfield.
Sure.
Playing with his heart. Nukovic coming back from an injury, you know, nearly getting a red card because of, you know, he's feisty and he's spicy and he's, you know, he's Nando's chili hot.
The man is spicy,
you know. And but for me, I'll say especially after yesterday's game, I think that was a confidence booster. They need to look at that game and start building from there. But I've always said that they just need probably maybe one convincing win. Yesterday wasn't a convincing win, but they need just one convincing win. Look at them now, with just one victory after seven games, they're in position 9, I think. They're 10
that's
points.
Ridiculous.
You know, that's how that's how funny the league is. If they get a point or 3 points against Cape Town City, they're in top 8 easy. So now there's a different conversation, and this is football. That's how football is. And I looked at also the interviews of other players as well of KZ Chiefs. They've always been saying that they can turn things around. They can turn things around, but also their body language wasn't saying that. But I hope with the victory yesterday, you know, they'll start changing that, and we would love to see KZ Chiefs back. Yes, they will never win the league this season, but we'll love to see them just competing, you know.
Yeah, I saw one of their players came out and he was like, oh, you know, they asked him about the plan to catch Downs, and I was surprised by the line of question to begin with. But the player was like, look, Chiefs can turn the season around if they win their next 5 games. And I think that's kind of the view that they have to take. That, like, this thing of looking back and going, you know, all of our struggles, all of our difficulties. It's always you're gonna put yourself in a rut. I'll get my weekly Arsenal reference out of the way straight up. It segues quite nicely into the question that I'll ask Sean, is that we had this issue where we relied so much, Arsenal, on these senior players who were not putting in their shift properly. And then we inject some youth into the team, and these boys are smashing, doing way better than the £70 million signings. And it's one of the things that has been pointed out as one of the things Hunt's gotten right. So they are, so in the Laduma, they mention, you know, taking CAF competition seriously, obviously getting them to that CAF Champions League group stage spot, which should not be minimized by any stretch. It's a huge accomplishment. Just because we can't see it on our screens doesn't mean that it's not impressive. But also they say Hunt's put some faith in the kids. So what do you make of his faith in guys like Ngobo and Blom, guys like Daryl Macheke, Lisako, even Sifama? Do you think that this is the key? We've been saying all along, but do you think that it's the key, and maybe a guy like Nurkovic can spur on these young players to refine that form?
It's a good question, Slu. But please do not, and to the listeners out there, you cannot discount the fact that having senior players in the squad, like your Parker, like your Katsanda, like your Itus, what they add to that change room. When the change room is positive, what they add to that change room, to those youngsters. Yes, Blom has been amazing. He's one for the future. So are the rest. But would they be where they are if these guys weren't backing them as well? Do you know what I mean? And Teka will echo that 100%. So don't discount that fact. I think Gavin doesn't really have much of a choice to play the youngsters. But when the older guys come in, like you saw last night, Parker playing, fighting, that's what you want. That's what you want. And the youngsters are going to follow. And I said they've been unlucky. Last night, they got very lucky. And hopefully, this is just what they need to get those 5 wins on the go. And it's very possible. Very possible.
Do you think that the older players, because I've seen this particularly at some European clubs, where the youth comes in and people think that, oh, you know, the older players should watch their spot in the starting 11. But sometimes the older players get inspired by the youth that is put into the team and are kind of spurred on. Do you think that sort of thing can happen for Chiefs?
Yeah, I think so. But also, you know, the older players are mature enough to know where they are and where they stand at the moment. Do you know what I mean? That's why you get the Bernard Parker, who's been there for so many years, who gets that extra year every year. Do you know what I mean? They're not shooing him off. They understand the value he adds. That's why you'll probably see Willard Katsandi, even though he's not playing at the moment, he'll probably get an extra year because of the value he adds.
Banyama's about to get extended 2 years.
Yeah, there we go. Well, he's not quite there yet in terms of age, but you need that fine balance. And if Chiefs get this right, if if they are wise, if they don't make long-term decisions in these temporary times in terms of Gavin Hunt, because Gavin must stay, and if they stick with Gavin, Chiefs will be unbeatable the next 2-3 seasons, without a doubt. If you see these crop of youngsters coming through, if the fans are patient, if the club is patient, yes, it might not be the best season this season. And yes, the hearts were broken last season, but that's football. It's life. You know, I mean, when is the last time they won a trophy anyway? It is what it is. But patience is the key here. When the transfer window opens, they need to make the correct signings. You will definitely see a completely different, confident, full of youngsters Kaizer Chiefs next season, without a doubt.
Mm. Dicko, how have you seen this balance between youth and Gavin? The youth and experienced players that Gavin has had to kind of form. It's a tough balance to strike. You know, because it's hard, obviously, especially this season where signings aren't possible. And a lot of these, you know, Disky Challenge youngsters haven't had the type of experience that a Chiefs player needs to have. But also, you don't want to, you know, rely too heavily on senior players. They are getting on in years. How do you think he's finding that balance?
I think, first of all, Slu, if you haven't played for Kaizer Chiefs, you'll never have an experience for playing for Kaizer Chiefs until you're there. So whether you're from a Disky Challenge or not, you know, and for Gavin to find a balance, Gavin has done it in all the teams that he's coached. Even at SuperSport, he gave your Kemet Erasmus a chance, your Zungu a chance. You know, he gave all the youngsters a chance. Your Mukeke is the chance. He's the guy that always gives the youngsters a chance if they raise their hands up at training. He's not scared to make those big decisions. Mm-hmm. But looking at the situation now at Kaizer Chiefs, he's forced to because of the injuries, because of the COVID issues as well, and because of the underperforming of so many senior players as well. And that's a fact. And of course, when you come with the youngsters, when they're coming in, they try to play their part as well. But with the youngsters, the problem is the consistency with them. There's always been a problem with the consistency when it comes to young stars. And that's why you need to find a proper balance of the senior guys and more experienced guys than the younger ones. Because when the going gets tough, the younger ones tend to give up very easily. Like as Sean has pointed out with Bernard Parker yesterday, Bernard Parker was fighting, he'll lose the ball, he'll chase it down. And with the youngsters as well, when they're looking at that, they want to emulate that. They want to do that. If Bernard Parker at his age can do it, you as a 17, 18, 19 year old, you have no excuse not to do it.
Yeah.
So I think finding the right balance in every team, not just Kaizer Chiefs, finding a right balance of youngsters and integrating them very slowly, I think it's important for the team's future. And with what the situation is for Kaizer Chiefs, I think they're forced to be patient. I think it's a team that has never been patient before. Now the situation, how it is, they're forced to be patient. They're forced to actually look at how they want to build a team and have those strategies, those meetings every single day and identify proper players that will be there for the next 4 or 5 years. And I think if this didn't happen, they would never have those kind of tough talks and conversations. And the Gavin is the right guy to have those kind of conversations. I'm sure Gavin in every meeting is still telling them that, guys, we need 14 to 15 players that are new. And we've never seen Kaizer Chiefs doing that before, but this will be a chance for them to do it. Hence, it's so important for them to progress on CAF Championship, because the more money they get there, it will actually come in handy to help secure the signatures of the younger ones coming in into the new season as well. So it's important for that. But also, like Sean has said, I think it's important to sign the right players. And what are the right players for Kaizer Chiefs? And there's a difference between the right players for Kaizer Chiefs and the right players for Gavin Hunt. That's a fact. We all know that Gavin Hunt prefers to play a certain style of play, and Kaizer Chiefs prefer to have your Vuvuzela players.
Right.
Right. And now the challenge will be how long do we want to keep Gavin Hunt?
Yeah.
And if that's the case, if let's say we're keeping Gavin Hunt for 5 years, which means it can give us a chance to sign the players that he wants that will be there for all his term. Or if we not trust Gavin Hunt to be here as long as we think, then are we still going to continue signing the Vuvuzela players, hoping that when Gavin Hunt leaves, they'll have a chance with another coach to come and play? I think this is a tough situation for Kaizer Chiefs to actually make up their minds as to how they actually want to play and how they actually want to go about, especially with the coach Gavin Hunt. Because even if Gavin Hunt leaves, let's say if it happens at end of the season, the Covenants decide, well, like, you know what, it's tough, I can't take this anymore. There's nobody qualified available in South Africa right now. Whoever that's going to come through, the chances are he doesn't know any player in the PSL. So it's going to go back to what Kaizer Chiefs was. Somebody else is going to sign those players because he likes them.
Yeah.
Not because of they're good for the team, because he likes them.
Yeah.
So I think right now it's an opportunity for a big club like Kaizer Chiefs to start going to that bank vault and open it up and start signing players that will be there for the next 5 years. Because the situation is that you don't want to win the league this season or next season, but you're building a team that will be unstoppable for the next 3, 4, 5 years. And if you start doing that by integrating very slowly with the younger players that understand the culture of the team and bring on new guys that actually wants to, you know, showcase their talent in Kaizer Chiefs. Because you need to find a proper balance into that. And I think the people that are in charge of signing the players, I think now they need to earn their money.
Yeah, they gotta earn that salary. From there, we move into the international news desk. This week, I pre-recorded it with Kurt, and we discuss transfer news and Man United's midfield. Have a listen. All right, it's time for the latest international news. And for that, we are joined by Mr. Kurt Buckerfield, international news correspondent for Sokola Duma. Kurt, how you doing?
Hey, Stu. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I am all good, all good. Well, we have the transfer window to discuss. It's kind of one of the slowest January transfer windows that I remember. There's always usually some crazy move being made, but it feels like, you know, now obviously there's the COVID reality and all of that, but it just feels like everybody is being a little bit more tentative. I think, you know, we can talk about the current log leaders because Manchester United are always fascinating. I have opinions about the rest of the top six or the proverbial talks, the top six, but let's start with United and looking at that midfield of theirs, which I think is one of the most fascinating things, because you have guys like Pogba, who, you know, he's a World Cup winner, obviously great talent, struggled for a while, suddenly he's found his form. Is he going to leave or not? You have guys like Bruno, who's come in and just been a world-class signing. You also have a guy like Donny van de Beek. Is it van den Beek?
Van de Beek.
You know, Donny's been benched quite a lot since he signed. So what do you make of that midfield? Let's start with Pogba. What should be done with Pogba? Should he still be sold? Or do you think that he's earned the right to push for a new contract now?
I think, Slu, I've always been a massive fan of Paul Pogba's. And I think that, you know, he's really played well a month or so. He's really come into form. And his turn in form has come at the same time. Came out with those comments where he said my client wants to leave and he's unhappy in Manchester. So it's been very confusing, I think, for Manchester United supporters. But there are misconceptions around Paul Pogba, and a lot of them are that he is ill-disciplined and he's a bad influence. And I don't think any of those things are true, because he's come out in arguably the most difficult career and started to play some of the best football of his career. So I think that when it comes to the end of the season, he will still be moved on, and I don't think United necessarily want to do that. But I think if Pogba does want to leave, you know, after, you know, some impressive form, maybe a title challenge, they would be happy to do that, knowing that they're in a better position to, you know, replace him. Still leave. I think that he does want to leave. It's pretty clear he wants to leave based on what his agent has said. But he does need to be, you know, applauded for his recent form. I think he's been brilliant, but it's also something that, you know, United for a long time. So it's kind of confusing, I think, for most Manchester United fans, whether to praise him right now or to be annoyed at this kind of form for the last 4 years. But it's been a difficult season. He's had injury. You know, he was on the bench for a while. Then his agent came out with those comments. It wasn't looking good for him, but he's playing a really important role at the moment.
Yeah, I would say, and one thing that I would say is that it would be disappointing if Manchester United, you know, come back, you know, full throttle this season, and Pogba's a big reason for it, and then he still leaving Man United to look for a replacement for him. But you know, you've mentioned quite a bit on the Twitter streets and you know, in your opinions, that Jack Grealish would be a great addition to the United side. Do you think that it becomes difficult now with the idea of Pogba potentially leaving? How do you replace Pogba? It's not a straight swap, obviously, with Grealish. You know, letting Pogba go and bringing Grealish in. Grealish is a different kind of player. Where do you think Grealish would fit into the United midfield picture if he was potentially signed? Let's say he was signed this January.
Yeah.
Where would he fit in at United?
I think he would go into the front three. I think Jack Grealish is best deployed as a left winger. He played there for England in the most recent international break. He's best there for Villa, but he can play on the left side of a midfield 3-2. So if he were to come in this January transfer window, I think he would be played on the left or on the right, because he can play on the right. And that's what, you know, I kind of like about him. He's very versatile, can play in a number of positions, but I would say he's best deployed on the left. But you know what? United's front three wants to be, or Solskjaer at least, wants his front three to be interchangeable. I think that's what would happen, hypothetically, if he were to come in. It would be like Jack Grealish, Marcus Rashford, and Edinson Cavani or Anthony Martial, and those rotating, especially the two wide guys alongside the striker.
Yeah, it is interesting. What do you think should happen with the boy, Donny? You know, when he was signed, there was a lot of noise made about where he could fit in, the type of player he was for Ajax. But now, you know, I saw somebody made the joke on Twitter. I don't know. Maybe it was you, but there was someone who was like, what's it? I want to name, man, I'm gonna get this joke wrong, actually, and it's going to be the Sean's jokes of the day. But he said something like, I want to name my kid Donnie so he never gets picked or something. Yeah. So what do you think should happen? Should Donnie, is it a thing of him not finding his place in the system? It seems like United fans want him to play.
Yeah.
What's the vibe with Donnie, and why hasn't he made the starting 11?
So I think, firstly, I think the response that Solskjaer and Manchester United get for this situation is very reactionary. I think it normally comes after a game where we've struggled and we've looked to not be at our creative best in midfield. Then people suddenly start calling for him. Look, he is a very good player, and he will be an important player for Manchester United and for the Netherlands, like he is already, like he was at Ajax. But I think that there is such an expectation on new Manchester United players play the academy, and fans are kind of ruthless with the way in which they judge those kinds of players. So I think, you know, on one hand, should Van der Beek be playing more often? Yes, I do think he should. It's a completely different experience going from Ajax to Manchester United, where the weight of the shirt is massive. It's so difficult. So I think that Solskjaer is trying to into the squad slowly, and you know what, if it takes a season for him to adapt to English football, to adapt to the expectations of being a Manchester United player, then so be it. I think right now we aren't in a rush. I think we have arguably one of the best creative midfielders in the world right now on form in our side, Bruno. That is where Donny van der Beek plays. So I don't think there's a rush. I think that he can play in other positions. He's shown to be capable in deeper midfield positions. I think he can play wide as a player kind of, you know, a bit of a free role. So I think that will be Manchester United. But I don't think we need to rush that. And I feel like we just need to be a bit more patient with him, with Solskjaer. I think that he's a really good player and he'll come right, and there will be a time where week in and week out, but let's just slow down, I think. Let's just slow down. And I'm talking as a fan and as a journalist. Let's just relax. Let's wait. Let's wait off, you know, until the season's passed to see and assess what kind of player is in Manchester United. I just don't think there needs to be a rush right now. You know, many players have come in and gone. Many players have come in and have battled and then don't get and end up being sold, especially in this post-Sir Alex Ferguson era. So, you know, let's just be a little bit more patient with him.
Yeah, I think this season is kind of an exercise in patience for a lot of the the top six teams' supporters. You know, I've seen this with Arsenal where we start terribly. We don't look like we have any creativity. Then a few good games happen and suddenly we go, wait a minute, we're not actually that far off top six. You know, it's a we're a few wins out, but it's still doable. I think Chelsea fans in particular, I've seen being very, very hypercritical very quickly in a season where obviously there's pressure with the £200 million spent in the last transfer window. Werner, Havertz not yet settling in. But you look at a team like United, at the beginning of the season, there were people saying, Ole out, this team is going nowhere. Now they're chilling, sitting pretty, 3 points clear at the top of the damn table. So which is it? I feel like we tend to overreact quite a bit. And I think that that's part of the reason why this transfer window is so slow. You know, I'm not even hearing that many rumors. All of them kind of sound a bit half in my opinion. I mean, this is the most realistic transfer rumor that I've heard for Arsenal in maybe the past 5 years, the Emi Gudea from Norwich. We usually get linked with like Isco from Madrid or like just these ridiculous signings that we would never make until we drop like 70 million on a Pepe. But I'm looking at Emi Buendia and you know, I'm going, this is a guy who like we can give this guy a chance. You know what I mean? It's not a super expensive signing. But do you think that this is going to be one of those just like low spending windows where maybe people are trying to trim fat rather than put weight on?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we're already seeing that at Manchester United now with Solskjaer recently admitting that he's trying to find clubs for Rojo and for... and then Timothy Fosu-Mensah was recently sold to Bayer Leverkusen. Jesse Lingard's linked with a move away. So I think so. I think Arsenal, of course, are trying to desperately get Mesut Ozil off the books. So I think that that's a really... a lot of these rumors just aren't real. They just aren't true. And you know what? There's such a disparity in what's going on around the club and what's going on. And that's why there are these reactions. You know, it's knee-jerk in terms of managers or to be sacked, or for calling for players to be replaced, calling for new signings. A lot of that is happening, you know, on social media and not in real life. I think that a big part of that Ole out bandwagon was simply just social media that would not be on the ground if fans were allowed in the stadium during those times. It would not have been happening. Fans around or in Manchester really like Solskjaer and really like and respect former players to give them a chance. So a lot of it's just created on social media and in actual everyday life. But yeah, I mean, Buendia, Slu, I actually like this guy. I really like him. He was good for Norwich, good in the Premier League. I think there was a bit of a dip where, you know, things just died down on that front, but that kind of coincided with Norwich's form. I mean, they were really poor by Premier League standards last season. And I feel like it's a good punt. He's 24 years old. He's got Premier League experience. He's been in England almost for 3 years. And I think he's just a good alternative to, you know, probably more expensive options out there, like those kinds of players who, you know, will command a huge fee and might not give you exactly what you want. So I think Buendia would be a good option. I really do. Emil Smith Rowe is playing really well, but he's young and you can't really ask for like top level consistency from him right now. I think he's a really good player and he's been doing so well in recent weeks. And he's also quite versatile. He's quite dynamic. He gets works. But Buendia, you know, he's leading in chance creation in the championship. And I think in broader Europe too. Now, obviously, you have to take into account that he's playing in the English championship and not in the, you know, Premier League. But he's a good player. And I think it would make a lot of sense for Arsenal to go for him.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned Emile Smith Rowe. The other issue with Emile Smith Rowe is that there's only one of him. We don't have an player in our team who can come in and do the things that he does. And so even if he picks up a slight thigh strain or something, then we're left with the same midfield stress that we had previously. And so
exactly.
So we definitely need somebody who's able to step in when we lack that sort of burst. Because I remember before we were starting Emile Smith Rowe, it was frustrating to watch this team. And I think probably a lot of Premier League fans are feeling the same. And I mean, I've kind of lost track of all of these rumors to the point where I don't even know who guys are linked with. You know, last I remember Liverpool were linked with Kylian Mbappe. I don't know who they're chasing at the moment. So it's a strange season, but I will say this, Kurt, you know, you've been spot on when it comes to United pretty much all season. So congrats, you guys are top of the damn table.
Thank you.
Just
sir.
About the if you guys win your next two games, you're the halfway mark champions, which usually means.
I hope so. I really hope so. I'm just, you know what, like as a fan, allow me to speak for a fan again, from a fan's point of view again. I've just wanted to, for the last couple of years, watching Manchester United play again, and that's what I'm feeling at the moment. And I never wanted the expectation on Solskjaer to win trophies or the Premier League. I really don't care about that. It's all my faith in football, you know. Allow me to enjoy watching the club I support again. And if you know, a trophy comes along seasons or whatever, then great. But I just want to enjoy watching the team I grew up supporting play football again. It's simple as. And I feel like Solskjaer is doing that. And he's. And then we'll play a game like this recent Burnley fixture. It was a difficult Burnley side, difficult to break down, strong physical players. And it's not that pretty, but I can forgive a performance like that because just a few weeks ago we were playing free-flowing. Lovely football, you know. So I think under previous managers, I was so frustrated watching United play under Louis van Gaal, Mourinho. I can't even remember the David Moyes era, to be honest. I was so disconnected. But the football, the last two managers, it just wasn't great, you know. And it was like kind of every week. It was every week we were playing defensively against teams at the bottom of the log. And that was kind of difficult to connect. Grew up watching the great Manchester United. So right now I just enjoy it again and I'm so happy.
Yeah, and what I will say as a closing thought is that it was kind of, in a weird way, in a strange way, refreshing to see Man United fans have their arrogance back. For a while, it was just weird. You know, Arsenal fans are supposed to be the ones with all the funny banter and responses to failure that we always have, but United fans, generally speaking, it's just a consistent level of arrogance that we've been lacking for a while. So it's kind of good to have you guys back, so to speak.
And I'm telling you, Slew, that goes hand in hand with the belief that is in that team right now. I think that a lot of fans are trying to play this down. A lot of Manchester United fans down by saying things like, "I don't really think that they can win the league. You know, I'm just enjoying it right now." I don't subscribe to that at all. I absolutely. It's one of those seasons. We've won more games than any other team after 17 fixtures. You know, why can't we? You know, let's stop making excuses. This team is good enough to win the league. And we are top of the log by, I know it's just by 3 points and we're only in January, but we can win the league. So, yeah, I don't subscribe to that whole, like, let's downplay expectations because we aren't supposed to be in this position. Let's just be grateful that we're anywhere near the top. It's like, no, we're top of the table. Let's go on to win the league. How's about that?
Exactly, you know, and Arsenal are at the top of the bottom half of the table. So, you know, it's the same thing, basically.
Mm-hmm. The same thing.
All right, as usual, it's always a fantastic pleasure to have you join. Mr. Kurt Buckerfield, international news correspondent for La Duma. Thank you and have a good day.
Cheers.
And that was all from the international news desk. And next up, we're going to react to some of this PSL action. We've discussed briefly the Chiefs AmaZulu match, which Deco also covered. Elsewhere, there was SuperSport beating Bloem Celtic 2-1. I think in that match, Skrobler became SuperSport United's all-time leading goal scorer. So big up, Skrobler. And then elsewhere, Pirates absolutely dismantled TTM to everyone's shock and surprise, 3-0 there. What did you... Okay, so let's start with that Chiefs AmaZulu match. The talking point for me was that challenge, and I swear I had it written down. But what did you think of the match, Shono? And obviously, Deco, you're probably tired of talking about it. I can hear it in your voice. But do you think it was more about Chiefs turning the season around, or do you think that there were some worrying signs that Benny and Amazulu should be worried about, considering how many chances they actually had?
Well, that's the thing. This for me was Chiefs hopefully turning the season around, without a doubt. Again, Nurkovic on the score sheet. Fantastic. Welcome back. Thank goodness for the Chiefs faithful. But yeah, I mean, it's yeah, okay. Amazulu, Benny's back, playing against a big team, playing at home. They could have won it. Should they have won it? Possibly. Chiefs didn't really look too comfortable, but we just spoke about at length now that they needed a bit of luck. And this could be it. This could be the time that we see Chiefs climbing that ladder.
Yeah. Deco, what did you think overall of the game? Was it more about Chiefs or Amazulu?
I think Kaizer Chiefs came into that game as underdogs because of what's happening with them. You know, so many games without a win. And I think Amazulu was highly confident they're playing at home. And you can look at also at the lineup, the way they put on their lineup. There was more attacking players, because they wanted to dominate the game and create more chances to win, which they did create chances. But I think Kaizer Chiefs, yes, certain moments they didn't defend well, but they fought.
Yeah.
You know, they fought for that victory, and that's what they needed. You know, with Kaizer Chiefs right now, you don't expect them to play beautiful football, but you expect to see the fighting spirit within the team, and that's what we saw yesterday. And for me, I think it's good results for Kaizer Chiefs.
Yeah.
I actually spoke to one of the guys from Amazulu after the game. I told him that, you know what, the Kaizer Chiefs needed these points more than you guys. You know, and not to say anything bad about how Amazulu applied themselves, but sometimes you Amazulu had so much talent on the pitch, and I think also Kaizer Chiefs also had an opportunity where Nurkovic could have scored brace, and with a breakout, especially in the last minute where Amazulu was open up, Kaizer Chiefs could have sold the game.
Yeah.
But also you look at where they come from and to where they were at. They were not playing an easy side. So for Kaizer Chiefs, I think they fought for their results yesterday, and let's not get carried away and say this is the turning point for them. They still have a lot to play for, and the league is long. It's a marathon, and I think this is one of the victories that they look back, you know, at the end of the season and said, you know, that victory actually helped us.
Teko, just a quick question. Sorry, Slu. When the players were walking off, the Chiefs players, did they look relieved? Did Gavin Hunt look relieved? Were they, you know what I mean? What was the feel like?
Look, you know, funny enough, I was just behind Kaizer Chiefs bench. So you know how Gavin Hunt is. He's a funny guy. And he was always having conversations with me, asking me questions that I didn't even want to answer because of I know that he was just venting out.
Yeah.
But that's what the coaches do. But one thing that I can say is Kaizer Chiefs players know exactly where they are. They know exactly what to do.
Yeah.
And after the victory yesterday, I think it's just a sign of relief, but they know exactly that there's still a lot to play for. There's a mountain to climb. Yes, we needed this just to have a breather, just a little bit, but there's more coming in because the games are coming thick and fast. And I think with the attitude that I saw also after the game, it was much better than the one that I saw before the game.
And that's always good to see for a team as big as Chiefs. I mean, it was always ridiculous looking at the league, seeing them sitting in 14th. You know, it's good at least now they're 10th. They're not too far off top 8 at the moment. They're 2 points behind Baroka there. So you know, a bit of an upswing in fortune for them. And then we had Pirates versus TTM and SuperSport winning against Bloom Celtic. So, you know, it's funny actually looking at the league. SuperSport are very quiet underdogs here. We were making a big hoorah about Swallows, of course, naturally. But now SuperSport United are tied on points. They're on 22 points alongside Swallows. And they're being led by one of the league's best ever strikers. What do you make of their chances, their performances this season? Let me just ask you this. Krobler, how impressive is he? I mean, he's taking this form on from last season, and you know, he's very key in a challenger for the title. Really, how impressive have Krobler and SuperSport United been this season?
Yeah, I mean, you just go back. I want to say 12 months, maybe a little bit longer, and Krobler was, you know, really nowhere. To be honest, he was injured again, really struggling. He came back, he scored a few goals, back in the Bafana squad, came back to SuperSport, scored some more goals, got offered a new deal, and he's shown, I've always said this, I've always said Brad is by far the best striker in the PSL. When Brad's on form, there's a no better number nine, in my opinion, who plays in his exact role. He's the best finisher in the league by far. Without Grobler, I wouldn't say SuperSport would be in where they are, but Grobler, Gabuza combo is just, it's a pleasure to watch, to be honest. They've just get along like a house on fire. But remember, Stan doesn't want to finish top four, does he? Or top three.
What is what I like to remind people. He avoids top three.
Top three, yeah. So let's see when he starts dropping Brad.
what do you make of it, Deco? I mean, we speak about Stan the man, but this is a championship contender team, and they're being led by an all-star.
Look, it's always great to have a striker that score goals for fun. I think we spoke about him last week. It's always great to have a player like that, you know. And for SuperSport to be at the position where they are, of course, he has contributed so much for the team. Hence, he is the all-time top goal scorer of SuperSport. And then now they are, you know, sitting nicely on the second position, you know, joining with Swallows as well with points. But the thing is with SuperSport is, I think, is one of the teams that are capable of challenging for the league because of the squad they have. But also with comparing to other teams that have good squads as well, I think SuperSport is the most inconsistent one. Because we all know that now they've got 10 games played. Now they're second in the log. I just want to see when the 16 games where SuperSport will be. Yes, Bradley Hopper, I don't think he'll stop scoring unless there's an injury somewhere. I think he's on form, he's enjoying his game. And I just hope that with big teams, I think Bradley Hopper needs to be in the position where he needs to win trophies, because, you know, that's something that you want to show for. You know, having to be the all-time top goal scorer of a team, and you need something big also to back it up as well, you know. And I think SuperSport should be in the position where they're looking at the log, like, you know, we can actually try and fight for it and to win the league. And for me, I think I'm not even surprised that SuperSport are where they are. They should be. And then I spoke about it in length. I said SuperSport should be fighting for the league. We shouldn't be even
every season
of how they assemble their teams. And they're going to be tested really, really, really well over the weekend against Sundowns.
Yeah.
It's going to be a very tricky game for them.
Yeah.
If they win that game, they become top of the log, period.
Yeah.
That's what they need to be looking at. And this is what you want as well in the league. I've always said that Sundowns is a great, great team. It's been the best team the last 10 years. We want people to start competing. We don't want a team to be the best as well for the next 10 years, but we're saying we need a team to start competing. We don't want the team to be running away with the league early on in the stage of the league. I mean, the league will be boring. And I think SuperSport and Swallows are doing exactly that. And they're not far away. Orlando Pirates as well, they're picking their points, but they're very inconsistent as well. But I think SuperSport are having a season that is very quiet, and they're going on with their business. But I strongly believe that they haven't been tested. They haven't played all, you know, well-oiled machine teams, but not all the teams this season. They're not all machines. So I think they need to take advantage of that. And with Bradley being on form, Gabuza's combo as well, I think Gabuza also can score more. I believe that he can, because he's capable of. And if those two can score so many goals, I think SuperSport will definitely be the one that actually chases Sundowns down.
And don't forget, why I commend SuperSport so much is Kaitana Tembo, there was an opportunity for SuperSport to fire him quite early on when he became head coach, and they stuck by him. And I always go on about how PSL teams are too quick just to fire coaches, and they stuck by him, and he's got the team gelling, and look what happens when you do that. So kudos to them. Yeah
and you know, I've spoken to Gaetano. He's a super chill, super, like, he's not the type of coach that, say, a Gavin or a Pizzo is, where, you know, post match interview is just as interesting as the match. But he's a calm presence, and I think he's the right guy for SuperSport as well. They should just back him to win a trophy. Speaking of coaches being backed, we move on to Owen de Gama. Is now, it's weird to say TS Galaxy's new coach, when TS Galaxy, of course, got their PSL status from Highlands Park.
Man, you come
know, on. That's where OBG's from, fam. Of course, it's a different team, but it just feels like they delayed the inevitable almost, if you know what I mean. But it's good to have Owen back in a coaching role. He's a good coach. So what do you make of this news of him going back to TS Galaxy?
There was only one real replacement, and that would have been Owen de Gama, you know? I think he'll fit right in. I think he's got a squad that he can work with, because TS Galaxy, they don't have a bad squad. They're just not playing very good football. And I think if anyone can get or put a foot up their ass, it'll definitely be Owen de Gama. He takes no nonsense. He's old school, put it that way. And I think he suits TS Galaxy perfectly, in my opinion.
What do you make, Deco? Mm. I mean, it's an interesting one. We know in a way what to expect from Owen. His teams are tough to beat. They'll run you down. But of course, TS Galaxy, a lot of low confidence at the moment. What do you make of this news?
Look, Owen is the type of coach that'll tell a player what they want to hear, and that'll bring the confidence back into the players. He's that type of a coach.
Yeah.
And he'll make even the non-playing players to feel special by giving them a chance and play them every week. That's how he is. And the thing is, I know that TS Galaxy will change from how they're playing now. I just want to warn the players that they're going to run. And they actually gonna run, and yes, that's how Owen teams plays. They play
old
with
school,
transition, speed, aggression. You know, that's what he's gonna demand from his players. And with the transfer window coming in, I think he might sign a couple of players to come and actually help him out. Players that knows exactly what it means to fight for the team, because Owen likes fighters. And for him to be there, I think. Tim Sugazo, when he bought the status, I think he had his own vision of how he wanted his team to play. Mm. And when that didn't work out, I'm sure Tim Sugazo can afford other coaches that were available, like Eric Tinkler and all that type of stuff. But also, you want a person that you know, you trust exactly, that he has an idea of the players that you have. Because some of the players actually there at TS Galaxy, they worked with him.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be a difficult transition for coach to actually come in and start whipping the guys. So I think with Tim Sugars, I think he had to accept what the fate was, and they got the right man for the job, because he was supposed to be there in the beginning anyway. But now that he's there, he's got a lot to do, and the players he's gonna start demanding so much from the players, and it's up to the players to respond. But for me, I'm not surprised that TS Galaxy has chosen him.
You know, I love what you said about Owen making his players run, and the warning you gave. Because, you know, it's something that I hear every week when I see analysts analyze Mamelodi Sundowns. They're always like, oh, you know, Shalu Lile, the thing about him is his work rate. He'll run up and down, his defensive effort. And I always go, do you guys remember last season with Highlands Park? That was who he was. It was the type of player that they built, that Owen built. And so, not to take anything away from Shalu Lile himself, but
I remember, Slu, I remember I went on loan from Sundowns to Silver Stars back then. And Owen was the coach. And we used to train in Modderfontein.
Mm.
And the running, it was horrific. Up and down stairs with tires on your backs. It was just, and this is like 3 days before a game. This is not even preseason. It's just, good luck to TS Galaxy. Good luck.
All the best. And it is an uphill run as well for them. Hey, see what I did there anyway?
Whack.
From there, we move into this week in football history. I'll run through this real quick.
Today, we remember great moments from the past. We dive into the time capsule. Join us as we remember great moments from this week in football history.
This week, back in 1907, Juventus and Torino contested the first Derby della Mole. With Torino winning 2-1. And of course, Torino would go on to dominate the rivalry for the next century. I'm playing. Juventus are those guys. This week, back in 1998, Kaizer Chiefs lost 4-2 to Cape Town Spurs, which, you know, it's just a funny thing to look back because the following season, Cape Town Spurs merges with Seven Stars, becomes Ajax Cape Town, joins the Ajax family. 20 years of history. Wow. Evaporate last season when Ajax decide, you know what, we're not doing this anymore. And now we have Cape Town Spurs back. Just an interesting thing. It's just how quickly things can change.
And they're rock bottom, huh?
Oh, they are. I haven't kept up with Glad Africa. Their coach
got fired today as well. So.
Oh, terrible. Terrible. Well, I was hoping maybe we'd see a rematch soon, but apparently not. And this week back in 2010, when Lionel Messi scored his 100th goal for Barcelona, becoming the youngest person in club history to hit that milestone. And I don't know if you know that guy. He went on to score a few more goals here and there, you know?
I know him.
Yeah, you might have seen, you know. But we go from there into the weekend preview. I need to try and find this picture that our sound engineer Aiden sent. But I think last week, Deco was perfect. 3 for 3 with his predictions. If I'm remembering right. Because you both took Downs over Barroca. And then Sean had Chiefs drawing against Maritzburg 2-2.
No.
But Deco picked Middendorp to win. And then Sean was also wrong with Pirates Swallows picking Pirates on a 2-1 win. Deco had it at a 1-1 draw, and it was, of course, a 1-1 draw. Oh, 3 for 3.
That was... Oh.
Sean, are you going to let this man trample on your legacy like this?
You know what? This is actually not okay because... Just because I lost today, you actually look at the results. But if we're going to kill, it's fine. It's fine. But well done, Teko. Well done.
Blame Aiden. Aiden hollered at me like 10 minutes before we started this recording and was like, yo, I have last week's predictions. And I was like,
Pick on the white guy.
Sweet. But this weekend, we have some cracking fixtures. Sundowns versus SuperSport United. Teko mentioned it briefly. Oh, this is a cracker of a match. As we mentioned, SuperSport, real title contenders, Sundowns. Every time they play, look remarkable. It is a tale of great attacks. But while Sundowns, their attack is spread out, SuperSport do get a lot of their goals through one man named Bradley. So who do you see winning this one?
I think this is going to be one of the games of the season. And I'm going for a high-scoring draw, either 2-2 or 3-3.
Yeah. Sean, you're not tired of losing. No? look, I it's gonna be a very great game to watch, but I don't think it's gonna be that open for more than two goals. I think it's gonna be a 2-1 victory for Mamelodi Sundowns.
2-1 victory for Sundowns, extending their unbeaten streak. Another unbeaten team is Swallows, who will take on Barroca FC. Last season that would have sounded like an easy match, but Barroca are kind of tough this season. You know, their record is 3 wins, 3 draws, 4 losses, but they're in the top 8, and when they were winning matches, they were looking good. So, but of course, they're coming up against the Swallows team who have not lost. So, who do you have for that one?
Yeah, I think the confidence that Swallows are carrying, even though Barroca are going to be playing at home, I'm going for a Swallows win, a low scoring win.
So, 1-0.
Yeah, 1-0.
Deco, who you got?
I'm with you on that one. I think Swallows will win this game. I think Swallows will dominate because of how I think there's problems at Barroca. I don't want to say much, but I think there's issues there at Barroca. So I think Swallows will actually win the game because Barroca plays the same way. They're waiting on transition. So if you don't give them space, then they have problems. But it's going to be a tough one for Swallows. They're going to run, but they'll dominate the game and it'll create more chances. I think Khamaldin will get the back of the net and Swallows victorious.
I mean, it's no secret Baroka struggle. It's just 3 losses in their last 5 matches, but they did not start the season that way, to be fair. But Swallows are it's 3 wins in their last 5, so it's just a tough one for them. And then elsewhere we have this is also just a tough one to call. It's Cape Town City versus Kaizer Chiefs. I remind people, don't sleep on Cape Town City. They're not too far off from these top, guys at the top there. They're sitting in 5th place. They do have a good team. They're inconsistent. They concede a lot of goals, but they still manage to capture their wins where they need them. And they're coming up against the Chiefs side who just finally got their 2nd victory against AmaZulu, and who will know in the back of their minds that 3 points could make them could get them back into the top 8. So who do you have winning that one? AmaKhosi versus the Citizens.
Sure, this is a tough one. Hey, I've always loved playing Chiefs at the Cape Town Stadium. They've never done well there. If there's ever going to be a draw, I think this is going to be one, but an entertaining one. I'm going 2-2.
I'll tell you a fun fact before we get Teko's prediction. Cape Town City have conceded more goals than Kaizer Chiefs this season, despite the difference in position. So, it's a hard one to call. Teko, who you got?
You know, my biggest concern is how Cape Town City are conceding goals.
Yeah.
And they're struggling with the set pieces, and we know how deadly Nukovic can be, especially after winning goal yesterday. I'm sure he's high on confidence as well. Look, it might be a 2-2 draw or a narrow win for Kaizer Chiefs, but I'll wing it for Kaizer Chiefs. I think Kaizer Chiefs can pull it through. I think Kaizer Chiefs can come back with the lucky victory.
The lucky victory. Maybe luck will be on their side. I think, you know, sometimes karma has to swing back your way at some point, you know.
Karma billiard.
I had a joke lined up for that yesterday, but I felt like it was bad timing. you know, we were going to do a transfer window watch this week, but I think things are moving a little slow and we can, you know, do that one next week.
I want to
see how certain things play out. You know, as we move into the weekend, it's been a great show. I don't have a segue here. I was going to try and come up with a segue for I'm slacking this week. That's my bad. I'll come back with some fire ones next week. So what do we have for a car?
We've got Bongani Zungu's BMW M4. With 2 fewer doors and sleeker proportions, the 2020 BMW M4 is a sportier-looking alternative to the M3 sedan. Still, these German siblings have a lot in common. Both feature a brilliant twin-turbo 6-cylinder engine that is as refined as it is powerful, and their M designation means they're descendants of BMW's storied subdivision. Available as a coupe or a convertible, the M4 is zestier than the regular 4 Series. The highs, seriously quick acceleration, affordable competition package, still offers a manual transmission. The lows, the steering lacks tactility, and it's overly firm ride. The verdict, the M4 is statistically impressive, but less engaging than its predecessors. A staggering 1.3 million rand. I give it a 7 out of 10.
I bet that drive is smooth when you're cruising through Glasgow, Scotland. You feel me? you know, I want to do a new thing. As Sean brings in the motivational quote of the week, I want to bring in the motivational man of the week. This week, one South African man faced so much expectation. Coming back to his parent club, we flooded Brighton and Hove Albion's Twitter and Facebook. We brought them new followers that they never thought that they could gain.
Sure.
We put the world of pressure on Percy Tau's shoulders, and he came through with an impressive cameo in the FA Cup, and then threw Zinchenko of Man City on his in his Premier League debut last night. So big ups, man like Percy Tau.
I didn't see the game. Did he do well?
He did well. He had 3 out of 3 successful dribbles. I mean, they lost the game, but it is Brighton. So you know, he also wasn't getting the ball given to him a lot in the game.
Yeah.
But when he did get the ball, he brought pace, he brought skill. So it looks good. And he's obviously going to settle in still. So we should give him some time. But impressive debut. Every time that he got the ball, commentators had nothing but good things to say about him too. So that feels nice also as a South African, just to hear people say, oh, Percy Tau, oh, nice touch. You know, it's just
Yeah.
It's heartwarming in a way.
But so cool.
What is your motivational quote of the week for us?
Yeah, so this one comes from a Mr. Dennis Onyango. Very short and sweet. Keep moving regardless.
Man, and that's the perfect quote right after Percy Tau. You know, regardless, if England doesn't want you to get this work permit, keep on moving, my G.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
That has been episode number 59 of The Car Wash, a very rare Friday show. Whether you've been listening to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or Apple Podcasts, thank you for joining us. I have been your host, Slu Paho. That has been Mr. Sean Roberts.
Awe.
And of course, that has been Mr. Teko Modise.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye, thank you.
We will see all of you same time, same place next week. Peace.
Peace.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is The Car Wash on the SL Podcast. Sizohlangana khona.